Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Dave.
And we're the hosts of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, where we bring you stories that delve into the science and spirit behind intriguing people doing extraordinary things.
Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. This week, it's episode 81. This week, it's the New Year's edition. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope that you all are off to a great start in 2022. This week, it's just going to be me and Joe on the call. We're going to be going over, talking back and forth between what we learned from the previous year, what we're taking forward going into 2022, a lot of our races, a lot of our family life, a lot of the wonderful things that we learned in 2021. COVID, I'm really hoping is going to be getting through and we're going to be done with it in 2022. But we're going to be talking about goal setting. We're going to be talking about the year to come in 2022. How are you doing, Joe?
Fabulous. You know, really excited about this new year. You know, thinking about, it's funny, Dave, our first episode was in the year 2020. Then we've recorded episodes in 21 and now 22. So we've spanned 3 years of doing this, which is really cool to think about.
Yes.
You know, the 80 or so guests that we've had on, what we've learned from them, the privilege in being able to talk to them and just experience, you know, their lives and their remarkable stories. You know, last year, I think, you know, we all figured out how to work through COVID. You know, we got some vaccines in us. We got out a little bit more. We've back and forth on our behaviors. I think we're learning how to live with this pandemic. And I think ultimately that's what we're going to do is just learn how to live with it like we have with the flu or other sort of seasonal kinds of colds and flus that we get. And I feel like, you know, the cool thing for me last year was I got out, you know, crewing more than I have, you know, in the years gone by, I was always being crewed and I felt like it was time for me to give back. So I got to crew you and Pete and Don and Matt, and that was a blast. You know, it's just fun to have or be on the other side of the, you know, the table, so to speak. So that was fun. Some reasonably good races. Wasn't, you know, ripping it up too much, but feel good finishing the year. I think I ended up running about maybe 3,800, 3,900 miles.
That's a good year.
Yeah, it's good. You know, a little less than the year before, partially because I started cycling a little bit more, trying to use up some time on the bike. So I felt like I got in my, you know, I sort of made my numbers. I don't know, we probably talked about this before, but I've been tracking every day my physical activity since the year 2000. So I'm up to 21 years of tracking. And there were a couple of numbers that I was sort of tried to get to, but I always felt like the hardest one, which I didn't make it this year, was 1,000 hours of exercise in a year.
Okay. Yeah. And, yeah. Because when it comes to just like timed events, like 24 hour events and things, it's hard to fill up an entire hour or two or three. And then, you know, 1,000 hours, you think about that divided by 365 days a year. That's a lot of time working out when you think about how many hours a day, every day for the entire year. That's a lot, Joe.
Yeah, it comes up. So I got to 950.
Wow.
I've had years where I've done up to 1,100, which you're doing, you know, 20 plus 21 hours a week. You're getting up to almost 3 hours a day of exercise every day. You know,
that's a lot.
And so I feel like that's sort of, you know, defining of my life and that I need to move. And so I track all of this, you know, I got to, I think, 28,000 pull-ups over the year and 35,000 push-ups over the year. And it was, you know, the biking was probably about, you know, 1,500 miles plus the 3,800 miles of running and then some other just, you know, other activities. So it was good. You know, I feel physically strong again at the beginning of the year. Never, you know, the good thing is, I'm never going so hard that I feel like I'm like completely burnt and I've figured out the active recovery and the pacing and just incorporating it into your life. So yeah, it's fun. feel good. And yeah, like what are you, I know you did a little bit more just really thinking about 21 and how that went for yourself.
Yeah. So yeah, and unfortunately for my run across Canada plans, you know, for our listeners who don't know my story, back in 2018, I attempted to run across Canada in record time. I got halfway. Again, there was an injury. But, you know, I said in 2020, I'm going to do it. And only probably 2 months, a month and a half before the plans start across Canada, COVID reared its ugly head. And, you know, of course, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, it all came to a seizing halt. And so did my run. And that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. And I was okay with that, because what are you going to do? It's an act of God, really. So I said, okay, no matter what, I'm going to do it in 2021. So that was last year. Well, up here in Canada, we at least had travel restrictions from province to province. And that really limited, you know, what I could do. And so, you know, we almost last minute again, we had to pull the plug on that. And yeah, that was relatively disappointing because it was the second year in a row that we couldn't do what we wanted to do. You know, I normally try to bulldoze through goals and try to not let anything stand in my way. Well, things were definitely standing in my way, and I was pretty frustrated about it. But you know, I patched together a group of races throughout the year. You know, one of my terrible mistakes, I guess, was, you know, my very first trail run of the year was a 100-mile trail race called Sinister Seven. Probably only about 10 miles in, I realized I was in trouble, because it turns out to run trail well, you need to run a lot of trails. And I haven't up until this point. My mileage was pretty good, but, you know, I wasn't running up and down mountains. And so my legs were fried, and it was smoking hot that day on the course. But then after that, I end up having a couple of good performances at races, set a course record and things. Went to Biggs Backyard. I didn't do nearly as well as I was hoping. I end up with 40 hours. And yeah, but you know, what I think what I learned most from last year, Joe, was, you know, really what I learned at Biggs about quitting, about, you know, focusing in the moment, you know, be here now, right? Because, you know, these events are hard. And I think that's what separates the people that do well, like Harvey Lewis, who was on our podcast thereafter, his win at Biggs. He ended up running for 85, you know, mind-numbing hours. And he, he was here now.
Right.
You know, he even said, you know, Dave, I didn't run 85 hours. I ran 1 hour 85 times.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he can somehow can that and sell it, he'd be a millionaire. You know, because if you could figure that out, right? Mm-hmm. And I know for me personally, like with the run across Canada, which is now planned for 2022, you need to be here now. You need to check in the moment. Don't be fearful of the future. Don't regret and go on about the past, because that's already happened. But if you really were honest with yourself about how you were in the moment, you're most likely okay. And that's the story of ultramarathoning, isn't it, Joe?
It is, yeah. I, you know, as I'm listening, you know, and Dave, you and I were talking a little bit before about the cold, right? And running in the cold, or running in the rain, or some conditions. And maybe sometimes we just overthink, like, you know, if you're going to really get into doing a streak, and there's actually an interesting article in the Times this week about streaks, and they're becoming more and more common. But what is interesting to think about is you don't think about it, right? It becomes a behavior rather than a thought, and it's something you do. And so you don't sort of consider, oh, well, it's cold, or it's warm, or it's raining, or it's not. It's just, this is what I do. And right. Do you think that that's part of, you know, like, you know, it's not like you're trying to think about, like, I like Harvey's point, you know, I'm running an hour. I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm not running 85. That would be very defeating.
Right.
Do you think that, like, maybe we need to do a little less thinking sometimes?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you're running slow, like, you know, any one of our listeners who's run a 100-mile race, would all agree, unless you're Walmsley or some, you know, super fast dude like that, would all agree that you're running pretty slow. And if you're really honest with yourself in that moment, you know, you're okay, right?
Right.
And so, you know, even when you're doing push-ups and you're getting to your end, or you're doing something hard, Pilates or whatever it is, if you were to really check in the moment, you're okay. You know, and I think that's one of the key lessons, is that, you know, don't overthink, just do, you know, stack a whole tower of good, healthy behaviors, one on top of one another. And I think that ultimately that's what, you know, goal setting is all about. I know, you know, the gym I go to is packed right now, because, you know, people are taking on these new goals with these New Year's resolutions. And it's wonderful stuff. It's great stuff. But yet, you know, it's 10,000 behaviors all stacked on. And you know, even if you end up achieving, you know, 8 strong behaviors, like waking up in the morning and doing meditation, or spend 1 minute in the shower where it's ice cold, or you know, make sure you get green vegetables in with your breakfast, or, you know, the little behaviors like this. You know, if you end up succeeding on 8 of them and then failing on the 9th one, be kind to yourself and focus on the 8 that you've succeeded at. And maybe that's a really great transition into, you know, this New Year's edition, and maybe learning a little bit from you, Joe, and you know, maybe some of my, you know, tactics when it comes to goal setting 2022, and what are some things that you do when it comes to, you know, looking upon the year that was, and what you want to ultimately take into the next year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's this sort of, I like to think of life a little bit like, you know, childish enthusiasm. You know, when we're little, don't have too many burdens in our lives, we get excited about relatively simple activities, you know, playing in the backyard, or, you know, building a fort, or running around, and just, we get energy from just sort of, you know, living. And there's not a lot that gets in the way. Yes, we have responsibilities as we get older, but I try each year to just sort of have each of the experiences that I decide to take on be exciting, like not a burden. You're like, oh wow, isn't it really fun that I can go do that? Or, you know, even something as simple as, you know, like a good pattern of eating, like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have yet another peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You're like, don't think of it as drudgery. Think of each moment. Why were you excited the last time? You should be excited this time. Like, don't create the burden. I think we often create the burden rather than the excitement. And so I just sort of love looking forward to things. I like being active. What I find, if I like it once, why wouldn't I like it 100 times?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a massive satisfaction that comes from ourselves sort of conquering the demons that can get in the way. And, you know, whether it's a dopamine receptor working in our favor or something else, just feels good. So, yeah, so I just try to always bring that positive, you know, childish enthusiasm to what I do, and walk in with a smile and appreciate that I get to do it.
Right. Right. And I agree with you, Joe. And I think that if our listeners were to look back at the previous guests that we've had all throughout the year and last year, and like you pointed out in the intro, you know, even the previous year, this is our third year now, you know, spanning our podcast, you know, there is this general optimism that's been shared. And if our listeners are paying attention to people that are doing exceptional things in their lives, there's three things. Number one, this bursting optimism, you know. And number two, it's, you know, this gratitude that they take towards things, where they feel legitimately grateful for the opportunity to go do something, even if it's deemed as being really hard or painful or difficult. They take that as a relative, you know, opportunity, and it's really quite beautiful. I think the last thing is just how you view what's in front of you. I remember years ago, I ended up having this conversation with this really, really well-known ultra runner. And this really well-known ultra runner, he sold many books, and he was known as this guy who everybody looked up to, and he was incredible. And, you know, it was one of those typical people, Joe, in a conversation with the average person, they'd be like, oh my goodness, have you ever heard of that guy, right? And, you know, your response is always like, oh yeah, of course, like who hasn't heard of this guy? But, you know, the interesting thing is, Joe, you know, in our podcast, we've interviewed many people who are a lot better than that guy. We're a lot stronger, who have had incredible performances and accolades that far exceed that guy. And I remember this one conversation I had with this guy, and he was going on about this and this and this. And I felt, you know, and I'm glad that the conversation went really well, but I felt like I wanted to take this time to help him out by maybe asking him a question that not a lot of people would ask. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you ever consider the words that you're using in regards to how about your sport, about your craft of running, about ultra running? Do you ever consider that talking about it as being painful, suffering, agonizing, you know, all those things, do you ever feel that is actually limiting your performance? Because when it comes to doing hard things, if you said, oh, running is painful, well, we categorically move away from things that are painful. And that's a survival mechanism. But you, Joe, you know, if I said, okay, tell me what running is to you, you're probably going to say joyful. It's the best part of my day. It's a journey. It's an experience. And that will only make you lean into it more. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah. You know, we've had quite a few recent guests who have overcome significant obstacles in their life, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it was Jonathan or Tommy or, you know, just go through the list. There were choices that they made to reframe their lives, to get out of their circumstance, to appreciate that the resource that they had inside themselves was more powerful than they had allowed it to be. Mm-hmm. Because often we hear is that, you know, well, you know, oh, Dave, you're just, you know, you have better genes than I have, or, you know, someone's more privileged, or they, like, I don't really think that that's a fair way to think about life. We all have resource, whatever the resource is, it's pretty significant. I don't think any of us ever even reach our full potential in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it only has to be about us, and we should just have enough respect for who we are individually as people on this planet and live our lives to what this system can do. You know, it can perform, it can run, it can be a good spouse, it could be a great friend, it could be a volunteer, it could be whatever it wants to be. It might take some time to get there, but when we start to do that, we start to realize that our system self-reinforces, which is why we end up really enjoying how we live, because it's rewarding the way that we were programmed to operate. You know, we're, as humans, we need to grow and improve. We love to be part of community. We like goals and objectives. They're all part of what keeps us alive as a society. And so ready to be used. It's like a fast car with an engine that you just leave in the house. And if you leave it there long enough, the engine will seize up because it's never been used. So yeah, I think that always with this sort of very positive, optimistic feeling that we are just up to us, which I hope people can get from the podcast and our guests, which is they all made their choices. And we hope our guests make choices about 22 to try something, whether it's run a mile, read a book, you know, spend some time with someone, helping out, whatever, you'll find that every one of those experiences makes you feel better about yourself and about your prospects for the future.
Yeah, no, and I couldn't agree more. I think that, you know, generally, you know, moving into 2022, you know, it's a really good time of year. I almost find that never in the month of August or November do I really look back at the year or the month that was. You know, it's an opportunity to take stock of the good choices, the bad choices, where you'd like to improve. I think that as North Americans, we're programmed to always try to be better year to year. You know, I understand that our machines, as we get older, you know, become harder and harder to maintain. Believe me, I know that you and I feel that at times. But, you know, generally, you know, you take stock of the things that you could improve on, the things that you did done well at. You know, don't congratulate yourself too much, but don't belittle yourself too much either. But take note of those things. You know, Joe, I'm curious to hear what you do on, you know, in and around New Year's time. But, you know, before I ask that, maybe I'll share with you what I do. What I've done is I write a note. I keep it to myself. And I ended up writing out all of the behaviors that were not the best of me in the previous year. Hopefully it's not too long of a list, but hopefully you're honest enough with yourself that you can go, okay, I could see how those behaviors led to, you know, poor choices or led to quit or led to, you know, really me not being ultimately who I need to be and want to be. And then what I did was I had a wood burning fire that night and I burnt it. Along with the year. The next day, we ended up writing a new list, but these weren't behaviors that we didn't like. These were behaviors that we wanted to fine tune and to sharpen moving forward into the new year, because like we mentioned before in the podcast or just, you know, minutes ago, you know, it's not really necessarily about goals. These are 10,000 behaviors that you stack up one after the next, after the next, after the next. And then you wonder why, you know, somebody's able to do something that you revere, that you take stock with, that somebody is an incredible photographer. You know, it's not necessarily about the camera that they took the picture with. It's the hours and hours of vision and eliminating all the cloudy stuff and building something beautiful on the other end. And it takes a lot of effort and work, but those are all behaviors. What are some of the things that you like to do, Joe, around the new year to kind of, you know, go transition from the one year to the next?
You know, I've been around the planet for a while and I've had my fair share of experiences, both the good and the bad ones. And I've learned a lot. And I think what I try to keep doing is reinforcing the good behaviors in myself. Like, when did I succeed and do well? And, you know, there, I find that the mistakes or those things, Dave, that you didn't really like doing, you know, are the other side of what you do well. You know, so for example, like, we're all capable of being in an argument with a friend, a spouse, a colleague, anything. And what you realize is, so often, this is like our own problem and we should just keep our trap shut and stay away from all these issues. And so I think that, you know, knowing that we all like independence and autonomy, I strive in each year to support that in everyone else, you know, because really what you like is what everyone else likes, you know, like on a personal level, it's not really that confusing. What we tend to do is, we hand our problems to other people, and in so doing, we make ourselves unhappy and they're unhappy. So sometimes I just try to keep reminding myself that, you know, there's these sayings we know, you know, you have two ears and one mouth, you know, the one I said the other day, it's sometimes better to keep your mouth closed and appear stupid than open it and remove all doubt. And so,
no doubt.
So I just work hard on, every time I coil myself back, I end up with a better outcome. You know, when I just keep it shut, let it go, because it really is like, I don't know. You know, like you'll be sitting there, like, let's make believe you and I went out to dinner and you're having French fries because you ran a lot and you're using ketchup. And I'm like, did you need to use that much ketchup? I'm like, why would I say that? Like that is like, there's literally no good reason, but someone would say that. Like they've decided to have the ketchup. Like just he decided, like I have no real say in that, but for some reason,
right,
we're gonna do it. And now you're mad because maybe you didn't want me to say it or you're insecure or whatever thing happens. And then boom, an explosion for no reason. Like literally like, that's your decision and I should just not even care. So that's to me, my most important piece of work all the time, which is, you know when it really matters, you know, discuss substance, not style, and to support people in the decisions they make because that's theirs. And you know what you find, Dave? When people want help, they'll ask for it.
Right. Absolutely.
And then you offer your opinion. Then you offer your opinion. Between now and then, let's just stay away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very little was accomplished during the pandemic with giving unsolicited advice. Isn't that the case? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, getting on Facebook on all those message boards is not good for the human race. Mm-hmm. We should all consider being relatively stoic and being able to pull back and consider that there is real pain and suffering in the world. That there's plenty of that, but the vast majority of the pain and suffering that you're going through yourself is internal. And sort yourself out. And then figure out the world thereafter.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
What part in this do I have? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've both, I think, come to that, you know, where we've talked a couple of times about stoicism and, you know, worry about what you can control, not the things you can't. If you really can't, then figure out how you could. But, you know, I do feel bad about how much anxiety people have right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just want to sort of try and help them and say like, yeah, come on, let's just like tone it down because it isn't helping. I know you can't say that to people, don't worry. But in a sense, it's a little bit like, don't worry, like, you know, do something, right? Mm-hmm. If you're afraid of the pandemic, then stay in your house, you know, like that's, I don't know. But I think that, 2022 for me, you know, one, I'm very interested in supporting you on your race, or not your race, your challenge. I'm going to get out and do a 50K here in January. I'm going to do a 300-mile adventure race in February. I signed up for 100-mile at the Cruel Jewel in May. I should be supporting you in June. Then I'm going to support Don Reichelt as he goes to win Leadville in August. And just sort of like on the athletic side, you know, pick up my speed a little bit when the weather clears, get back on the track, run a little harder, a little faster. I actually have been seeing a lot more reinforcement of the zone 2 running that everyone should remember.
That, great. You know, yeah.
Mitochondria is only built in zone 2, which means conversational. If you're breathing hard, you're going too hard. It's going to feel like nothing, but the body can only work then to fix itself and build itself. So go slow to get fast. Keep reminding ourselves of that. And keep up the, you know, the physical activity, the push-ups, the pull-ups, the sit-ups, stay strong, resilient. And I'm looking forward to an amazing 2022. It feels like it's going to be and we have some other buddies who we'll talk about later who might be trying to do some big events and it may all come together this year. So it's looking like, pretty exciting, really.
Yeah, it's going to be a relative bottleneck of people that are wanting to go out and do things again, push themselves. You know, I think that, you know, the pandemic, I don't want to say the pandemic was, because we're still in this. I mean, our numbers up here in Canada are going gangbuster. It's incredible. This new variant is, you know, I can't tell you how many of my friends and colleagues are getting sick right now. It's incredible. It's spreading everywhere. But, you know, I think the pandemic forced us not to stay stagnant. You either moved in one direction or you moved in another direction, but everybody was moving. And I think what it's done, what I've noticed here in my town of Okotoks up here in Canada, is that you see a lot more people out running at the gym, lifting weights, you know, going, okay, that's enough. You know, this is time that I create change. This is time that I transcend where I think that my peak is, that I'm going to try harder, that I ultimately have complete control over my effort. And I love that. And I love seeing that. And so I think it's kind of neat that everybody is in a relative same place together. You're all, you know, on the highway, and you look over and you look at somebody else, and they're finding their potential right now, as you and I are. You know, I'm really hoping for me that 2022 is a really, really big year. My entire running career, you know, I've been running races and 24-hour races, 100-mile races, you know, multi-day events, backyard events, but, you know, it really builds itself up to this ultimate multi-day adventure that's not just necessarily run, but it's also a journey that I want to personally see to as a, not necessarily as a runner, but as a human. I want to, you know, pull my body, you know, all across, you know, the entire of Canada, which is 7,200 kilometers. It's a big, big country, second biggest in the world behind Russia. And, you know, I want to do it faster than anybody's ever done it, because I know I can. And I know it's going to be hard. And I know I'm going to learn 125 different lessons out there. But I'm capable. I want it more than life itself. And I just now need to put the work in. You know, this past, you know, November, December, this was, you know, a time and a space before any big training block that you end up getting. I don't know if a lot of your, you know, our listeners out there are you know, into strength training, but I always believe that you can never shoot a cannon from a canoe. You really just can't. And if you're going to put 100, 120, 150 miles, 200 miles a week into your legs, when I'm running across the country, I'm going to have to be putting, you know, close to 400 to 500 miles on my legs every week for over 2 months straight. And you have to build a really, really strong platform. And that is hip thrusters, powerlifting, you know, doing a lot of heavier lifting. I've gained about 8 or 9 pounds in the last little while, just in muscle itself. I'm going to lose it in this training block, that's for sure. Because, you know, I'm just going to be running more, and I'm going to be eating away at my muscle and body fat stores. But yeah, I think 2022 for me, my sole focus with this year is to break that Trans-Canadian speed record and to get successfully across the country into Victoria. And then I can rest. I probably won't rest, Joe. You know, there are other races. I know. I've got my eye on about 4 other races after this run, but I won't sign up for any one of them until I am successful with this one.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. So in terms of just, I'm sure we'll talk about it as the months go on. When the target start is in May?
May 15th. Yeah. In St. John's. Yeah. And so really
east to west.
East to west this time. Yeah. In 2018, I ran west to east, which I think was a bit of a mistake. And, you know, Terry Fox and, you know, Steve Fagno and Rick Hansen, you know, there was all east to west, and you do what, you know, what the champions have done. Yeah. Right. And it would be so cool to start running, realizing that I'm running exactly where Terry Fox ran back in 1980.
And you're going to, between now and then, somewhat average about 20 miles a day, you know, in that range.
Both there. I mean, right now I just got done a speed set in my basement, and I think I ran 7 miles.
Hmm.
But you know, I puked at the end, so it was like really hard, really, really hard. And so, yeah, you're just building, you know, that, like you said, you know, that zone 1 or 2, and then into zone, you know, 5. And, yeah. And some say I truly believe that every strong runner, you know, kind of trains with the same mechanism. You don't let your ego pull you out of zone 1 and 2, and then don't be a coward to not get into zone 5. Yeah. And so today I wasn't a coward, but it really wasn't a big volume day. And the volume is going to be picking up and up and up to 20, 30 miles during you know, just an average recovery run.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to work through the weather, so that's a challenge. So there'll be a lot of treadmill time, I would imagine.
Treadmill time, but I think running out in this weather is good for your soul. You know, I think that you can end up coming up with a lot of excuses, but mentally, it's like standing in a cold shower, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, mentally, that lever is right there and you can turn it off. Like, you wake up in the morning, like, we had a real stiff wind that blew through last night. And, you know, it's really easy to convince yourself to just stay in bed and stay warm and comfortable because it's uncomfortable out there. But, you know, Joe, there's going to be many days with your racing next year, with training next year, and who knows, maybe with chronic disease and family, and who knows, but you might need to do something hard at a time that you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to go out there and flex your strength a little bit.
Yeah. I like to think about, you know, who's really running the show here, you know, like, am I consciously running it, or is there some other sort of overbearing kind of something or not? And so I think that you, to your point, right now I'm hanging in Denver and it's nice and cold in the morning, you know, somewhere between 15 and 25 degrees Fahrenheit. And, you know, you just have to dress properly is it, and, you know, get your head over that the first mile will always be cold. But if you dress properly, by the time you get to the second mile, it's like, okay, you know what? What the heck would I have been doing of it? Like, and just every day, just then sooner or later, you don't have as much of that battle with yourself. Now it's
right.
It's who you've become, and it's easier. Never easy. That's not the idea. But yeah, then the day starts off with a win. You feel great. You're happy for it. And I think that is the game we all get to play, which is, can you leverage the resource? You know, I never forget, I went and did one of these, whatever they called, the luxury car kind of thing on the track, muscle car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I got to drive like a Ferrari, and I was going around the track. I thought I was going fast, you know, and the guy who's with you is like laughing because you're not going half as fast as he because you perceive this level of risk going at the speed into the turn that he could go and get out of the turn. And what you realize is that often you stop short of your capability. Now, you might have to practice for a long time to get to be able to do the same, but it's there, but you don't realize that it's there. And I think that that's this intrigue, which is, do you want to find out what's there or not? Like you said, don't be afraid of zone five, you know, find a big
hill. Don't be a coward.
And run as hard as you can uphill and start screaming to yourself, I want to find the pain cave. I want to find the pain cave. And find it. And then you realize afterwards, you're like, I'm okay. Oh, look at that. Nothing bad happened.
I didn't die. Go figure. Yeah. And I think a lot of that, Joe, and when in a previous podcast, you know, probably even 6 months ago, I forget what guest we were talking to, but we talked a little bit about that, about, you know, maybe at the onset, and this is where I've gone with my training and racing in the past, is maybe at the onset, you know, every single thing that you've ever thought about in life, every feeling, every idea, every smell, every sound was false. Everything was wrong, simply because it played up to two human dynamics. One is survival and the other one's procreation, right? And this is exactly, we always play those cards. When we're exercising, we go, whoa, 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 we better pull back because we don't know if there's a saber-toothed tiger chasing us tomorrow. Or we don't know if we're going to have enough food to be able to sustain a higher caloric burn. But, you know, this is 2022, Joe. And your fridge is full of food, and there ain't no saber-toothed tiger. Sometimes when you're running in the woods, there are bears and cougars, but no, you are very, very safe. And so I like to think sometimes, like, maybe, just maybe, every single one of my thoughts of like, okay, I better pull back here. You know, you driving in the Ferrari around the racetrack, you know, you not turning into that and feeling that that you pulling, your body's pulling to the left, you automatically go back to survival, right? And maybe that's wrong, because maybe Ferrari has, maybe just Ferrari has thought even a little bit further past Joe's mind of like, we're going to create the safety. We're going to kind of close in as we're turning that corner. So Joe, everything that you think about the physics of turning that corner, you have no idea what this is capable of. And so ultimately, we all have no idea what we're all capable of. And we can go and have the hardest workout of our lives every single day, and you're fine.
Yeah,
in fact, you'll be an incredible athlete at the end. You'll feel good. You'll feel great.
I know. Yeah, but it's more than just athletics. It's, you know, making a presentation at work, putting the preparation in. It's, you know, building a business, being a salesperson. It's, you know, a doctor taking care of someone. It's like there's every one of our opportunities are similarly, you know, enabled with opportunity to do more, to be better, you know, to lean in to the resource that we have and our abilities. And yeah, you know, like in these cold days of run, you know, you're like, well, I'm probably like at most an hour from like a really warm living room. So I'll probably survive this, you know? And then you're like, oh yeah, okay, stop your fussing and whining, because before you realize it, you're going to be very comfortable again. So, you know, I don't want to think for anyone listening that, you know, that these are sort of behaviors that just you wake up one day and you have. These are practices that we've worked on for years and years and years. We've had both success and failure with it. We put ourselves in community of people who are like us, so that's reinforcing. You know, we research and listen, we think about it, we reflect, we make commitments, we measure ourselves, we follow through, and we do it again and again. And then over time, it then becomes more and more obvious. And so, you know, it is once the first step or the first pen stroke or the first page, that's what we do. And then if that's as far as we get, then that's okay. Then we get to the next and we just stick with it. And then we find out that in fact, we have, you know, created the journey that we wanted, you know, which is more than we probably have experienced to that point. And then it becomes, you know, in its own way, addictive, right? You know, like it's fun.
Hey, more. Yeah. Yeah, what was once deemed was as torture or, you know, painful or suffering or agony becomes leisure, becomes, you know, the thing that you look forward to the most. You have that big, stupid, you know, shit-eating grin of, you know, the five-year-old kids when it's their birthday. And it's simply because you get to go out in the cold and go for a bike ride.
Yeah.
You know, that's something to live for, I think.
Yeah,
it is. And that's something to lean into in 2022. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, new year. It's you year. You know, it's you know, putting yourself in those needs that we all know when it comes to eating healthy, when it comes to exercise, when it comes to getting your taxes done soon, when it comes to all those things. We all know what to do. Just do them.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with that we're committed for this year again. You know, we're going to break 100 this year on our podcast. We have some really cool guests already lined up who have, you know, we do, of course, have more runners sometimes than others, but we're expanding our sort of scope of guests. So you'll get to hear from some really intriguing characters throughout the year. You know, Dave and I are committed while he's running across Canada to recording a podcast each week from the road. So we lose our Friday launch of podcast through the year. We make no excuses. We'll have that for you so you can come to grow and expect it. And, you know, we appreciate every one of the listeners for giving us your precious time in a day to listen to the two of us who, you know, we're just trying to, you know, sort of live life and be part of your life and part of our, you know, guests' lives and enjoy this journey as much as anyone possibly can. So what a privilege, Dave, that we are on this path and get to do this.
Yeah, it's been an absolute privilege. And I want to mirror your thanks to all of our guests for sticking with us, hearing our voices every week, taking inspiration where you can. And 2022 looks good on you. So let's go crush it.
Well, we'll go chase tomorrow together, and we'll see you guys around. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Dave, I love having other guests on the show, but I think it's equally as fun just getting the opportunity to hang out with you and shoot the breeze. I'm really thrilled for all that 2022 is going to be for us and doing another 52 podcasts with you. I mean, just think, by the end of the year, we'll get to 132 podcasts. Almost as many miles, I think, as you run in a week. Woohoo! Okay, well, there you have it. Yet another amazing episode brought to you by our sponsor, Performance Tea. You know, we're starting to hear that there are many pro athletes changing from other electrolyte blends to endurance. I think you should try it out and see what they've figured out. You can find them on www.performancetea.com, and they've given us a discount code for any of you, our listeners, to get 20% off your purchase. Just use CHASING20 at checkout. Always, we'd appreciate it if you give us a review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be awesome. And a huge thanks to you, our listeners, for coming with us on this journey and chasing tomorrow with us. Happy New Year. Have an awesome 2022.